Welcome back, listeners, to another Got Your Hands Full podcast episode. Today, I'm here with Amy Thomas, who's a fellow podcaster. I've been doing this for longer than me, so I'm so excited to have a big podcaster on to interview. So, Amy, I think just by searching through Catholic podcasts and being that my oldest daughter's named after St. Faustina, I first found the St. Faustina episodes, and then noticed that it went into a whole new podcast show of St. Teresa of Avila, which I follow now. And that's how I found Amy. And she is a wife, a military wife to be exact, and a homeschool mom, which of course, those two things sound like having your hands full. And of course, we know we mean that in a positive way, you know, so serving our country. So thank you for your husband and for your service and for your family service. And also, it's not easy, although I know it's very rewarding. I did homeschool for a little bit, and my kids said they were ready to go back to school that year. I know, I did love it, though. And so anyways, and on top of all that, so obviously she... Actually, I don't know, you can explain to our listeners your educational background, but just from hearing you read, I'm assuming you have a degree and probably an advanced degree in literature because you just sound very smart and you have a really good reading book. But you can tell us about that. But on top of all that, counselor, is that right? Working with children, I'll have her explain that. But that's kind of what I was surprised to hear. I didn't know that that was also a former career she had. I heard her talk about it on the show. And I said, you know, I have moms listening, I think would like to know from a professional's perspective on, you know, the safety issue. I will turn the mic over to you. I swear I don't do well with talking.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that you found me through the St. Faustina podcast. That was a whirlwind year.
Yeah.
And I did move over to the Journey with the Saints because I realized how much I loved it. And I was like, I can't just do a singular podcast for each saint. So I just need to combine them all. So that's how Journey with the Saints came about, just reading the saints' works. I love it. But as for my educational background, so initially I wanted to be in the FBI, catching bad guys. I went to a career fair at college when I was in my undergrad, and I talked to the FBI and I was like, oh, you know, how do I get into the FBI? And they're like, well, either be a lawyer or join the military. And I was like, I do not want to be a lawyer. So I am super patriotic. So let me join Air Force ROTC, having never considered the military at all. My parents thought I was like insane, but I met my husband there. And so my undergrad is in criminology. And then when we moved, I got my master's in applied behavioral science, where I specialized in sexual violence crimes, which is not something that normal people do. it's a dark topic. And for my internship, for my master's degree, I worked at a juvenile detention center. And I studied 17 juvenile offenders that were in-house. And I studied their cases because I was like, there's got to be something similar with all these kids and why they became offenders. And so that's what I kind of wrote my thesis on. And so anyway, that's just what got me into specializing in that. I studied, predators. And I've been brought in to look at behavior patterns and things like that. But also I'm not a licensed counselor, but I counseled victims of sexual violence. I was an advocate for them in the emergency room and at court, and then also at the police station. So that's kind of where, how I've been involved in that world.
I guess just initially, like, what would you have to say to a mom who, you know, maybe saw Sound of Freedom or, you know, hears about trafficking or just any of those topics that are just evil, really, and is kind of freaking out, like doesn't know what to do, is she doing the right thing? What can she do to protect her kid?
Because they are mobile, they move, they leave the house, they go to the mall, they go out with friends. they have their phones. And so that makes them more at risk than say when they're 4 or 5, because they're always with you, or they're in daycare, or they're with grandma and grandpa. So it is something to be concerned about. It's not something to think, well, that could just never happen to our kids. I think more people are keyed into the, well, is my child going to be a victim of being molested or sexually abused by somebody? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of parents worry about that more so than the sex trafficking, which, you know, is valid, because that's more likely to happen.
Of course.
So it is something to be concerned about, but we also don't want to shelter our kids so much that we squeeze out the joy of living just to keep them safe. And so that's something that even when I was counseling and working actively in the field, like there were times when I absolutely wanted to take my 2 girls and just like run away to the hills and never let anyone come near them, because I just heard so many horrible stories. Yeah. But then it's like, but then they wouldn't be living, and that's not fair to them. So it's like, you got to strike that balance of being aware and concerned, but also allowing your children to live.
I'm sure anyone who asks, like, what can I do, is probably already doing the things. Like, they're not leaving their kids alone with strangers, or, you know, like if they're worried, they're probably already doing all the things, like either not doing sleepovers or monitoring sleep, right? And, you know, if your kids aren't homeschooled, then when they are somewhere, they know the adults. So how do you be smart? And then also, like, like you said, trust God, because you don't want to just run away.
So I would say, like, when I used to go around actively giving talks about this, it almost at every talk, I would get somebody who would say, tell me what an abuser looks like. Mm. And I would say, I cannot tell you. There is no look. And we often think like somebody who's going to abuse our kids would be like the dirty, creepy, unkempt person. And we would like never let our kids around that person anyway. So we tend to think like we would be super good at spotting them. And so we look for a certain like look and keep our kids away from that. And then that misses a wide range of other people. I would say the first thing is to get out of your head that there is a look to somebody who would harm children in this way. And just be aware that they can look any way. I've had predators that looked, you know, wealthy to poor to, you know, older to younger. I mean, it's run the gamut. So there's no one look. The second thing is parents are very good about teaching their kids to stay away from strangers, which is good, obviously. But we think anybody that we let into our circle, because we think we're very discerning of how people are, you know, anybody we let into our circle should be safe. And this is one of the number one reasons why so many parents don't listen to their kids if they do come to them saying that they've been sexually abused, because it makes the parent feel bad in their parenting. Like, I should have known that this person was an abuser. I should have noticed it about them, or they, you know, if they truly were, I would have never have let them into my circle. They tend to dismiss the child because they're like, no, I would have known. I would have known if that person was like that. And so we just have to be very observant of the people that we let around our kids, not paranoid, just observant. And so some things with, you know, people, most of the time, if anybody was going to harm your child, it would be a male. Not always, but the majority of the time it is a male predator. Children also prey upon other children because they have learned that from somewhere. So like I said, you know, I worked at the juvenile detention center, and I studied the 17 kids that were there because they were preying upon other children. In all of their backgrounds, they had 2 things in common, all of them, no matter what their background was. Number one was they were all introduced to pornography at very young ages. And number two was that they all had been victims themselves, and not a single one of them ever got help. people what happened to them. And so kids mimic things. And so they were taught that, it became a part of their life. And so then they acted upon other children. Mm-hmm. So we have to be aware that other kids can be, you know, it's hard to use that word with little kids, predators, but offenders, maybe they will act out with other kids because they'll look for a vulnerable child, usually younger than them. And so that's something else that we have to be aware of, is who we're letting into our kids' space. So you mentioned sleepovers. I am not a fan of sleepovers for this reason. And so I tend to stay away from them unless it's a family that is like highly, highly trusted, mm-hmm. Very, very well known. So, and that your kid seems to be comfortable around. But when looking at people that you do let into your space, number one, mom intuition is a real thing. Years ago, my best friend and I, we were in this homeschooling co-op, and this one particular time I couldn't go. And so my friend went. And when she got back, she called me and she's like, Amy, I gotta talk to you about something. And I was like, yeah, what's up? And she's like, well, there was this dad there and he just gave me bad vibes. And I was like, okay, well, what's going on? What was wrong? She's like, he didn't want to talk to any of the parents. Like, he barely paid attention to any of the parents, but he was very, very focused on all the kids, girls especially, like having them sit in his lap. And these were girls that were not well known to him. Mm. Lots of back rubbing and stuff. And she's like, it just kind of creeped me out. And I was like, okay, well, next time I go up with you, I was like, that's something that alerts me, definitely. So next time I go up with you, I'll check it out. And so I went, and we went apple picking, and he showed up, and like all the parents were standing around, and he like completely bypassed all of us and went straight to the kids, and not to his kid. It was odd. And I noticed that he started like rubbing the girls' hairs and patting their backs and like just being very touchy-feely. And I was like, okay, this is not good. Mm-hmm. And so we went to the principal and everything. He did end up getting arrested on base. He wasn't military, he was a civilian, but he ended up getting arrested because he was caught trying to lure a child into an abandoned room. Mm. So her intuition was key and spot on. So like paying attention to that, any adult that like wants to spend more time with the kids than the adults is alarming to me. And mm-hmm. I say that and you're like, but my kids' grandparents love to spend time with their grandkids. I mean, like a person that's coming into the family,
yeah,
a coach or, you know, a teacher or something like that. Not that they're going to completely ignore your kid, but just an over showering of attention mm-hmm. on a child is mm-hmm. concerning. And if they start giving gifts, or they always want to do a favor for mom, oh, mom, I'll take them to practice, you stay home, and just trying to get that child isolated.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Those are some red flags.
You know, nobody needs to go around like immediately accusing somebody of being, you know, a child predator or something like that, but just right. Something sets you off and gives you a red flag. Don't ignore it. Don't mm-hmm. ignore it. Mm-hmm. Maybe be a little more observant and cautious.
Yeah. On the issue of sleepovers, I know forget the phones. That's even another thing.
That's one of the biggest reasons why sleepovers concern me, is because mm-hmm. a lot of kids have phones or tablets or whatnot, and they have just unfettered access to everything. Mm-hmm. And then like, I don't know what they're showing to my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, they could potentially say, hey, I want to show you something. And then the next thing I know, my child's viewed pornography and mm-hmm. or something like that.
No, that's some good advice. And then spiritually speaking, like, is there any advice on that end? I mean, way that you feel like we can put our trust in God, knowing, you know, he's protecting them, but.
I mean, it is hard because, you know, we put our trust in God, and, you know, I pray to my kids' patron saints, you know, to pray for them, to, you know, ask for protection over them and everything. And so, there's a lot we can do, mm-hmm. asking their guardian angels to be close and near, and that our kids are open to receiving their help and everything like that. And I kind of talked about this earlier, something that is really important, if your child ever does come and tell you that, you know, somebody has been hurting them or something questionable is happening, they're uncomfortable or somebody did something, believe them. Mm. And you know, so many parents, I saw this so many times, they just want to sweep it under the rug. Like, okay, we don't want to talk about it because that'll bring up bad memories. Mm. We need to obviously let our kids, tell us in their own time and in their own way, but we do need to we don't want to sweep it under the rug and pretend like it never happened. And so making sure that we get them help and that they know that we're here, if they want to talk about it. It might be hard for them to talk about it with mom and dad because it's mom and dad. So mm-hmm. getting them that help is very important. Mm-hmm. And, but also knowing that, if something tragic were to happen, that, you know, we can teach our kids that, you know, if something bad happens in your life, God can, you know, if you allow God, he can work good through it. And that sounds weird. I take my own life, for example. I'm a victim of sexual assault, and that's why I got into this field, is because I wanted to catch bad guys. It was later in my teenage years when this happened. And I was devastated because I thought God had turned his back on me. And that in my, I grew up Protestant, and you don't talk a lot about suffering and uniting your suffering to Christ. And I thought Christianity meant that nothing bad would ever happen to me. And so when something really bad happened to me, I was like, well, okay, so the whole Christianity thing didn't work out, did it? So see ya, God. If you're going to turn your back on me, I'm going to turn my back on you. And as Catholics, that's, you know, God has not abandoned us. And it took me a long time to understand that even during the tragedy that happened, Christ was still with me.
Yeah.
And he was there, and and he turned, you know, once I allowed God to take that bad and turn it into good, it changed my whole world. Mm. And so, you know, I was able to then go help other people, mm-hmm. and, you know, educate people, like through podcasts like this, and be there for other people who have been through something like that, and let them know that you don't have to stay stuck in the bad thing that happened. Mm. So Christ offers that healing and that making sense of suffering, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, it's hard to tell that to a little kid, but
right.
You know, as a parent, if your kid does go through something bad, just knowing that if you keep them in the faith and, you know, continue to pray for them, that God truly can, it might take years down the line, turn that bad into something positive in their life. You just never know.
No, that's really well said. It's beautiful. I'm sorry you experienced that.
No, it's bad boyfriends. Bad boyfriends that I was attracted to the bad guys. And so it was sense of confidence in a guy I equated with confidence and being very manly, and mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was just false bravado, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's one of those things that happened in my life, and I'm okay, and I've gotten to a place where I can pray for those that hurt me, and that took a long time. A very long time, but it brings a lot of healing too. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, on that note, that we're talking to our kids about it preemptively. So right. we don't necessarily want to have the conversation when they've told us that they've been hurt. So it's more without, you know, maybe using the word predator, like you said, for a little kid, but just, you know, those conversations. Has anyone told you, like, don't tell your parents this? Or has anyone said, I want to tell you a secret? And, you know, is there any adult who touched you like it?
Yeah, it definitely, the conversation I tell people needs to start. And I say this and people look shocked at around like 2 years old. And I don't mean like the birds and bees talk, like big time talk about it, but just saying, you know, no one's allowed to touch you down here. And using the grammatically correct terms for private parts is very important, because I've had people that, I'll give you an example. You want kids to use grammatically correct body parts because, let's say, you nickname like a girl's vagina cookies.
Mm.
I've had parents do that.
Mm.
They're at school and somebody touches them. The little girl goes up to the teacher and is like, Brian's touching my cookies. And the teacher's like, oh, that's too bad. And
yeah,
you know, she's just like, yeah, you know, toy cookies or whatever, or
sure.
something like that. That, but she's more likely to dismiss it, or like, Brian, stop doing that, and not really address the problem. And so it's very important. An ear is an ear, an arm is an arm, a vagina is a vagina, a penis is a penis. We need yes. to give those grammatically correct terms so that when they do tell an adult, they're using terms that the adult doesn't, you know, completely understands. And they're like, oh, okay, this is what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just, you know, as each stage, as they get older, saying like what you just said, has anybody ever told you to keep a secret from mom and dad, or that mom and dad would be super mad at you or hurt you or something like that, is important to ask and to let them know, no matter if anybody were to ever hurt you, no matter who it is, you can tell me and I will not be mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a mindset coach for women who want to stop negative thinking patterns, gain self-confidence, forgive themselves and others, and learn to have a more positive mindset on life. I also work with children and teenagers in schools. I present a mindset coaching course where I teach children and teenagers how to feel their emotions, regulate and process their emotions, how to express themselves in a healthy way, how to make decisions and plans, how to execute their goals, and how to have greater self-confidence in themselves, to know their self-worth, and to love themselves, forgive themselves and others. You can learn more about my business on my website, which is lifecoachmama.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. In addition to my business, I have a nonprofit where a team of life coaches, licensed counselors, and I offer free life coaching to women in crisis pregnancies. We meet every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Zoom. You can learn more. Our website's crisispregnancysupport.com, and Crisis Pregnancy Support is also on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to purchase my book, go to Amazon. It's titled, How to Have Another Kid Without Losing It. I teach you mindset tools when it comes to pregnancy, family size, and basic parenting skills. Thank you for joining the show.
Okay, thank you, Amy, for all that information. And I know a lot of people have learned new practical ways, you know, to keep their kids safe, but also, you know, if there's something we've heard before, it's good to be reminded. And also, sure, they can trust what you're saying. So it's good to know like another reliable source that's giving that information. Yeah. So I just thank you for your time and, thank you for sharing your expertise. And, yeah, I know we all want our kids to be safe. And so I'm sure all the moms listening appreciate. Can you just remind us the name of your podcast? And then I know you also write on blogs and you're on social media. So just whatever you want to share about the work you do with Catholic Pilgrim. So
Yeah. So my podcast is called Journeying with the Saints, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, The Catholic Pilgrim. And my website is www.catholicpilgrim.net. And if you go on there, it's got my podcasts, all three seasons, my blogs. And if you wanted to ask a question, my email address is available on there as well.
This isn't too bad. Although I didn't mention that Amy does commentary every episode. So that's like so helpful. It's like the Magnificat. Mm. Like I should be able, like a good Protestant, to read my Bible. But I'd like to have the Magnificat. So I was like, can someone do a reflection for me? Oh, there we go.
Right.
So it's nice because I know when I said you read the saints' writings, you do. But I should add, and this is huge because it's a lot of your time. And like you say on the show, you read it over and over so that you can reflect. You're not just picking up the book and opening it and reading it out loud, which would be great if you did. But additionally, she's putting her insight and then she like relates it to her life or someone else. And then you're like, oh, okay, I got what St. Teresa's saying. Not that I like think it's impossible to understand, but sometimes it is. And other times I'm not really sure I'm right. And then other times I'm like, was I listening? What did she just say? So that reflection really helps. So thank you for that. Yeah. So I think everyone should listen, no matter what your faith, because it's great, great books that you're reading.
Yeah.
God bless you. And thank you so much. And I'll have to think of another topic so I can interview again.
I'm quite a talker, so you could pretty much pick anything. I'll probably come up with something to say.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thanks, Amy, and take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.